Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and once again, welcome to the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of Radio Out of the Past.org. The MSS crew is back and ready for another round of hooking you up with what we do best, and that is those super awesome OTR surprises. Today's date is Saturday, September 10th, 2016, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating broadcast of that all-too-famous Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. And without any further delays, I would just like to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, and he just so happens to be Rotten Rick Spurgeon. I would just ask that everyone please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Rotten Rick, the microphone is yours.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go. That's when I think of you. When shadows fall at the close of the day, I turn on the switch and it starts into play.
Tim comes in with a jab to the head, a hook to the jaw, and a smash to the nose.
Thanks, Luis, and thanks, Old Theme. Here we are again for our last kick at the cat for September. Well, and also for summer. Gosh, that goes fast. Time for me to start getting depressed till at least February or so, when there's hope that somehow the snow and ice will melt. But before we get to that kind of thing, let's have a little bit of fun tonight. What are you going to play? They said quizzically. Ah, I said, quizzically too. You'll find out. Because this Quizzling has a couple of quiz shows. Gee, you couldn't have guessed that by now? I know very little about them. In fact, basically nothing. But I'm going to tell you how I got them, because it gives you an idea of just how us OTR people dig out things and how our psyche works. If you are a collector, whenever you see a name or a title you're unfamiliar with, then you go and look for it. An item came up called Guess Who? So I went through my library and I went through my resources that I have and couldn't find it. However, I came up with another quiz show called Guess What? And I thought, it's very likely that there's a typo somewhere, and they are the same shows, but somebody misprinted it. I found I had some Guess Whats, and I played one and found that it is a quiz show, but the time allotment didn't match Guess Who. However, I thought, for its own purpose, it'd be good to play this, because it's a little different kind of quiz show. It's an audience participation show without an audience. At least not a live one. It was one of those syndicated fillers that local stations used, but not a bad one. Okay, item number one for tonight, and then what comes after that? Well, we still have to find this other show, because I'm still not satisfied that it's a misprint since the time elements aren't right. So we keep digging and digging and digging and digging, and eventually get to the bottom of a site somewhere, and there it sits, all by its lonely little self. A bona fide, probably late 1940s, audience participation quiz show. Aha! Well, there's part number two for a program. And of course, we always have the Baxters to finish things off. So, ahead of time, before we even play anything, you know what's coming up. Which gives you a chance to go out and take out the garbage or whatever else you have to do, in case you don't want to hear one of these things. But I think you might want to stick around. Sparkly entertainment? Eh, not really, but fun. And interesting because it's a little bit unusual. So let us get things going with Guess What?
Guess What? Greetings once more, friends. This is Lindsay McCarry speaking, and I'm back again once more with my gang to bring you another session of puzzles, tricks, and mental stimulation in which you, as listeners, take part. All you need to have to play these Guess What games is a good sharp pencil and a couple of sheets of paper. So, while the gentlemen of our instrumental ensemble dash off a few measures of our theme melody, will you procure a pencil and some paper for yourselves so that you, too, may share in this radio game? So well. We'll be back in a moment with our first Guess What. ready to march out into the public square of Puzzleburg with the first of our victims. Capitaine Gibson, is the guillotine ready?
The guillotine is prepared, mein General.
A bit foggy in your language there, bud, but well, we'll get started. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a little beheading right now. Yep, we're going to behead some words. Here's the idea. We're going to give you a definition, then tell you to behead the word which will fit that definition, and thereby derive another word to fit the second definition. Then we'll tell you to behead again and derive a third word to fit still another definition. By beheading, we mean taking off the first letter of each of the words. Well, we'll show you how it goes. This is not one of the words, merely an example. Suppose we'd say,
behead a garden slug and get a pointed piece of metal used in building.
The first word, of course, is snail. By beheading the first letter S, we get nail. Then to continue,
behead again and get a verb meaning to be ill.
Of course, the word is ale, A-I-L. Is that clear? Very well, then. Here we go with the three problems in beheading. We're going to give them to you only once, but we'll try to go slowly enough so that you'll have plenty of time. Ready? Number one.
Behead a verb meaning to gladden or to cheer, and get an adverb meaning tardy. Behead again and get consumed, devoured.
The second of the beheading problems.
Behead a verb meaning to want, to desire, and get another verb meaning to rant, to run wild. Behead again and get an exclamation meaning hail, H-A-I-L.
Number three.
Behead a verb meaning to satisfy, to delight, and get a contract of rental. Behead again and get a noun meaning comfort.
There. We've beheaded our three words and done a good job of it, too, I think. We'll put them together again for you later so that you may compare your guesses with the real words. Now for our guess what number two. We call this
the parts department.
The parts department, yep. And the idea is this. We're going to give you eight definitions or hints of words. These words sound like other words, all nouns, which are parts of an automobile, any automobile. As we give you the definitions or hints of the original words, you are to guess and write down on your paper the words which sound like the originals and which fit the names of parts of an automobile. Is that clear? All right, then, we're off for the parts department. Number one.
A rhinoceros wears one. A cow wears two.
Number two.
Has given utterance to speech. Has given utterance to speech.
Remember, the words you are to guess are all nouns. Three.
To have and to hold.
Four.
A little girl wore one of these on the way to her grandmother's house.
Five.
Spelled differently, this means to demolish. To separate violently.
Six.
A machine of war. A machine of war.
Number seven.
Snakes do this, and cowboys do it to a piece of their equipment.
And the last, eight.
You can be arrested for committing this.
There they are, the eight words of our parts department. The eight parts of an automobile. We'll tell you later what they are as we give you the scoring for the scoring method for this time. Now, here's our guess what number three for this session. We're going to name four different battles in history. We'll give you the names by which these famous battles are best known. Then we're going to give you another list of the names of the men who commanded the armies or navies which won these battles. but the names of the men are going to be in an entirely different order from that in which the list of battles is given to you. After we give you these two lists, you then, ladies and gentlemen, are to associate the battles with the names of the men who won them. Are you ready? Here, then, is the list of the battles. Write them down. One.
The Battle of Shiloh. S-H-I-L-O-H. Shiloh.
Two.
The Battle of Flodden. F-L-O-D-D-E-N. Flodden.
Three.
The Battle of Jutland. J-U-T-L-A-N-D. Jutland.
And four.
The Battle of Kenesaw Mountain. K-E-N-E-S-A-W. Kenesaw Mountain.
Have you those written down? All right. Here are the names of the men who won those battles, but in a different order. Number one.
Admirals Beatty and Jellicoe. B-E-A-T-T-Y and J-E-L-L-I-C-O-E.
Two.
General J.E. Johnston.
Three.
General Ulysses S. Grant.
Four.
The Earl of Surrey. S-U-R-R-E-Y. The Earl of Surrey.
Well, there they are. Four battles and the names of the victors. Now we're going to give you just 50 seconds to team them up. Associate the names of the victorious generals or admirals with the names of the battles they won. Then we'll be back with all the answers and the method of scoring. Answers. Guess what number one, this time, comprised the beheaded words. Here are the words. The first set of three.
Elate. E-L-A-T-E. Late and eight.
The second set of words, number two.
Crave. C-R-A-V-E. Rave and Ave.
Ave Maria, meaning Hail Mary. Number three.
Please. P-L-E-A-S-E. Lease and ease.
And now for each set of the words you had correct, you may score yourself 10 or 30 for the entire problem. All right? Now for the answers to our parts department. The words which sounded like other words. Names of the parts of an automobile. Here they are. One.
Horn.
Two.
Spoke.
Three.
Clutch.
Four.
Hood.
Five.
Brake.
Six.
Tank.
Seven.
Coil.
Eight.
Battery.
And there they are, the eight parts of the automobile in our parts department. Give yourself a score of 5 for each one you had correct. Well, how did you get along with the famous battles and the victorious generals? Here they are, complete and correct. Number one.
The Battle of Shiloh was won by the Union General Ulysses S. Grant.
and it was sometimes called the Battle of Pittsburgh Landing, a famous battle of the American Civil War. Number two.
The Battle of Flodden was won by the Earl of Surrey.
And James IV of Scotland lost not only the battle, but his life on September 9th, 1513. Number three.
The Battle of Jutland was won by Admirals David Beatty and John Rushworth Jellicoe.
This has been called the greatest naval battle of history and took place during a world war between the German and British fleets, totaling 259 war vessels. Although the British suffered greater losses, the German fleet retired on June 1st, 1916, leaving the North Sea undisputedly in the control of the British. Number four.
The Battle of Kennesaw Mountain was won by General J.E. Johnston,
a Confederate commander during the American Civil War. It was during this engagement on June 27, 1864, that the Union General William Tecumseh Sherman suffered his greatest losses. And there are the four battles with the victors. You may give yourself a score of 5 for each that you had correctly associated, which allows you a total score of 90. And that means that another session of Guess What must come to an end, but we'll be back with you once more over the same station soon. Your own announcer will tell you when that will be. Until then, goodbye now.
So, item number two coming up here. This is an okay show. It's not Queen for a Day, it's not Truth or Consequences, but it's fairly typical of, I think, the kind of quiz shows that popped up all over the country to keep the little housewife, pardon the sexism, but that's the way it was in those days, company at the ironing board. And with that, the only item I could find of Guess Who, complete with a hokey host, and he thinks he's funny, comic-type guy who presents it. Yeah, give it a listen.
Sheffield Farms, hello. I don't know. The man just says, guess who? Yes, that's right. It's the game Guess Who, and your host is Sheffield Farms, who also bring you that delicious new Sheffield cream cottage cheese and other fine dairy products. And now let's give a welcome to our genial Sheffield Quizmaster. His new hobby is airplanes. In fact, when he was only 10, he got his first wings, blew them up, and then went swimming. Here he is, Happy Felton!
Thank you, Joe. You're not kidding. This week I took my first plane ride. The pilot started doing barrel rolls. He did about 15 barrel rolls through force of habit. In spare time, he delivers beer. Well, I didn't exactly get air sick, but I was sitting in a green seat, and the pilot had to punch around with a long stick to find me. But he found me. The pilot said, don't be afraid, Happy. I know my stuff. I can do anything a seagull can do. I said, well, let's see you prove it. So he ate a herring. Boy, I was really scared, though, that first trip. I said, pilot, please let me know the next time you start to loop the loop. He said, well, I don't always know, Happy. Finally, I said, pilot, are we in danger? He said, I think so. The automatic pilot just bailed out. That was all, brother. I leaped out. I began pulling frantically on that parachute string. I must have pulled the wrong string. 3 seconds later, I had unraveled 4 miles of my long underwear. Well, from now on, I'm shying from flying. I'm just going to play Guess Who? The game where 7 shrewd contestants are ready, willing, and, I hope, able to guess the voices of the various recordings we're going to play. A winning guest wins 10 silvery Sheffield dollars suitable for framing, and a losing guest gets only 2 little bitty, tiny, shriveled-up silver dollars. But either guess is signaled by... Ah, listen to those silver eagles screaming. It's a messy United States currency pouring into the old Sheffield milk payola. And at the end of the big doings tonight, all contestants get a chance to frisk it. So far, it contains $65. More to come later, we hope. And there's more to come in another department, too. When some contestant at the mic least expects it, an alarm clock is going to rent the night asunder with ringlings and other stuff. And then what does said contestant get, Joe?
Happy, they get a beautiful Walt Amrith watch, the first American watch, the watch that keeps time beautifully.
That's very nice, Joe. I'm glad to get a Waltham watch. But who's your pal, Joey?
I'd like to introduce Mrs. Betty Brooks of Brooklyn, New York.
Hello, Mrs. Betty Brooks.
Hi, Mr.
How are you feeling?
Fine. A little nervous.
A little nervous? Why? Too hot for you?
Not too.
It's been pretty hot. They're changing the name from Manhattan to Manheaton. Oh, that was about as bad a one as I've ever told in my life. Mrs. Brooks, where do you live in Brooklyn? Don't tell me you're going to be one that can't remember.
No, I live in East New York, Brooklyn.
East New York, Brooklyn. How often do you go to the movies, Mrs. Brooks?
Oh, about twice a week.
What's the first movie you ever saw? Remember?
Yeah, I don't remember that far back.
You don't? Why, is it that far?
It's a long time.
Long time? Well, in a few minutes, Mrs. Brooks, we're going to ask you to identify the voice of an all-time great movie star who is no longer with us. But right now, I want to ask you some questions about housewives. You're a housewife?
Yes, sir.
Do you think the average housewife is happier today than she was in Grandma's time?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Well, you should. You're a modern... Don't say I wouldn't know. You're a modern, up-to-date housewife. What things do you have to work with that Grandma didn't have?
Well, we have the washing machine...
That's right.
Mixers.
What does a modern housewife need to make her life happier, even more so? Things you don't have. What does your husband do, Mrs. Brooks?
He's a cargo checker.
He's a cargo checker? In what company?
He works for the International Freighting Company.
Well, are you kept busy at home?
Well, yes and no.
I'm getting no place with you, Mrs. Brooks. Now, let's start all over again. Do you have any bad habits that your husband objects to?
Yes.
What are they?
I go out too much.
You go out too much. What do you do when you go out? Go to the movies? Play
movies,
bridge?
No. I like to go to radio programs.
You like to go to radio programs. He objects.
Not too much.
Not too much? Well, I don't think that's such a bad habit, going to radio programs. My wife has one bad habit I'm glad you don't have. She lets mosquitoes come into our house. Last night I killed 20 mosquitoes, 15 males and 5 females. I knew their sexes because 15 lit on the bourbon bottle and 5 lit on a mirror. I like that joke, too. I'm glad you laughed, Mrs. Brooks. Let's play Guess Who with you. We'll give you a chance to get $10 to add to your housekeeping budget. That is, if you want to, or else you don't have to tell your old man anything about it at all. All you have to do is tell us the name of this famous theater and motion picture actor. The money's waiting now, Mrs. Brooks. Guess who?
Now I am alone. What a rogue and peasant slave am I? Is it not monstrous that this slayer here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion?
He's whispering at me now. Instead of whispering to me, you tell him all who you
are. John Barrymore.
How did you guess it was John Barrymore?
Well, I thought it was him.
You're exactly right. It was John Barrymore. Very good. Wonderful actor, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Here's a wonderful actor, too, Joe Ripley. He acts every week as if he's glad to give you these 10 silver dollars. And here he is.
Thank you very much.
There you are. Thank you, Mrs. Brooks. Thank you very much. Let's have the Navy step up on here now. Ray, raise up that microphone here. He's a big, tall one here. Ray, you pronounce your last name for me.
Betcher.
Betcher, where are you from, Ray?
Minnesota.
Whereabouts in Minnesota?
Jasper.
Jasper, Minnesota. I don't know exactly where that is. Where is it, Ray?
Southwestern corner of the state.
Southwestern corner of the state. Quite a ways over. How long have you been in the Navy?
6.5 years.
What's your job?
Clerical.
Clerical? You've been at sea?
Oh, yeah.
On what kind of a ship?
Carriers?
Not a little nervous, Tommy. Just relax. These are all friends of yours. Want you to win the money, and they want you to have a good time. We just want to find out something about you. Now, tell me, did you ever sing?
I lied. I haven't.
When I asked if you sang, you said you told me you'd sang in a barber shop quartet.
Off and on.
Off and on. Well, now, look. What kind of a voice would you say you have? Well, is it a tenor or a baritone? I don't mean good or lousy, pardon.
I don't know that either.
You don't? Well, do you want to try it? And I'll tell
no.
you.
No.
You don't want
Listen
to try it. Now, all right, what singer that's in the public eye do you admire the most?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Well, now we know the type you like. All right. See, I like to sing, and I know what type of voice I have. I have a wrestler's voice. Sort of half Nelson Eddy. Now, Ray, Mr. Sheffield will give you a silver buckaroo to just kind of settle you down. If you can use notwithstanding in a sentence. Use the word notwithstanding. Well, I'll give you an example. Papa wore out the seat of his pants, notwithstanding. I'll give you another one. Fiddlestick. Use fiddlestick.
You pull the blank. I can't do this.
Fiddlesticks, I can't do this. All right, give him a dollar. He used it. I was going to say, if you pull up the blanket too high around your neck, your fiddlestick out. Are you married?
No.
You're not married. Got a special gal?
No.
Have you met any nice girls in New York?
No.
Well, would you care to meet my wife's old maid sister? Ah, she's a wonderful gal. She has a complexion just like a peach. Yellow and fuzzy. Ray, do you smoke?
Yes.
Now, they claim that last year the average smoker in America smoked 113 packs of cigarettes. How many do you think you smoke? How'd you ever have
750.
750? That's you. In other words, you smoke more. How many packs a day do you smoke?
About a pack and a half, 2 packs.
How'd you happen to start smoking?
I wasn't supposed to.
You weren't supposed to. That's the way we all smoke. Do you think you have a lot of willpower?
No.
You don't have willpower?
No.
Gee. How old are you, Ray?
26.
26. When I was your age, I had a lot of willpower. I was very forward, too. I was forward on the basketball team. I was forward on sleigh rides, too. Now, Ray, Joe's patting me here on the shoulder. He wants me to play the record for you. Do you want to hear one? I'm trying
know.
To think one that you can win on here now. Let me pick out a good one. Gene Clark's ready back there. All right, here we go. 4 years ago, the young lady whose voice you will hear in just a moment was famous as a movie star. Today, she's equally famous as a radio star. 10 silver Sheffield dollars waiting for you. Guess it.
Wake up and live. Don't mind the rainy powder. And you will find mind over matter. Dark clouds will break up. If you will wake up and live. Wake up and live. Show the show tomato.
No. I said she was a movie star. I don't think Joe Stafford's been a movie star yet. Now, in one movie, this gal played a famous friend of Diamond Jim Brady. And right now, well, any minute, she was on all last season, and she's coming back. She'll be on the air with her husband. And her husband calls his other boss Jackson. Oh, she played Lillian Russell. She was magnificent. And then Irving Berlin wrote a song called Alexander's Ragtime Band, and she sang. They just revived it. Oh,
Alice Faye.
You know, he said Alice Faye just exactly as the phone started, as the cowbell started to ring. Are you in? Joe says you're in. How do you feel now? Joe had the bell up.
So I knew it all the time.
You made it all right. Alice Faye, that's right. Now, she calls. What's her husband's name?
Phil Harris.
Phil Harris. All right, we checked up on him. Okay, $10 for you, Ray. Stand by for the jackpot. Maybe he took over. You know something, Joe? I've been looking around here, and I just decided that women are getting better looking all the time.
I think you're right. And another thing, Happy, have you noticed how many women today look younger than they really are?
Wonder how they do it.
Well, it could be they drink a lot of milk.
Isn't it amazing how Joe always gets around to talking about milk? Go ahead, Joe. What's milk got to do with looking younger?
Well, let me explain it this way, Hap. Youth and a fresh, lovely complexion just naturally go together. When your skin gets dry, flaky, and lined, you're bound to look older. Now, scientists can tell you that dry skin is one of the first signs of a vitamin A deficiency. And you get this important vitamin A, lots of it, in milk. And something else. Milk gives you other essential vitamins, minerals, and proteins. Nutrients you need for the natural beauty and youthful vitality that come from glowing good health. So, drink plenty of Sheffield Vitamin D homogenized milk and stay on the sunny side of life. It's low in calories, topped in smooth, delicious flavor. Insist on fine Sheffield Vitamin D homogenized milk for good health, good looks, and good drinking.
Very prettily done, and here's a very prettily looking girl coming up here. What is your name, please?
Betty Rhodes.
Is it Miss, or am I too late?
Miss, but almost.
Miss, but almost.
Almost too late.
Almost too late, huh? Betty, where do you live?
Jackson Heights.
Jackson Heights, and what do you do?
I'm a reservationist for American Overseas Airlines.
You're in the airplane business?
That's right.
Are you worried for fear they'll investigate you?
Not me. I'm a small cheese.
You're just a small cheese. Why? If you have to make reservations, I think that would be rather important. Especially as I read in the papers that the America can't sail. I bet you had a bunch of people trying to get on today, didn't you?
We certainly did. Did business good.
And what reservations particularly do you make?
All overseas points. To London, London, Frankfurt, Copenhagen, Stockholm, Shannon.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you said by saying that I almost missed, you must have a very special one. In other words, you've met your Prince Charming, shall we say?
I have.
And what does he do?
He's a student. College.
I see. Do you have more than one boyfriend, Betty?
Well, not now.
It's kind of
embarrassing.
Well, I was just hoping that if you had an extra one, I'd send him over to meet my wife's old maid sister. She's a bachelor girl, Betty. She's only 38, right at the in-between age. In between eager and desperate. Now, Betty,
yes.
Did the airplane company give you a vacation this year?
They certainly did.
Where'd you go?
San Francisco.
My goodness, flew all the way out there and have a good time?
Wonderful.
Like San Francisco?
Oh, yes.
Do you think that everybody should have a vacation every year, say 2 or 3 weeks, or they should have a couple of days all the time to keep them going? We want you to tell us who this famous motion picture radio detective is.
Oh.
You'll hear his voice right now. Guess who, Betty?
It is truly said, the bullet is greater than bulletproof vest. In Adventure, Riddle of Impossible Murder, number one son...
But what's the character? Stop here! Man by the name of Peter Zorn, is that right?
That's right.
Z-O-R-N?
That's correct.
That's an unusual name. What nationality would that be?
German.
The German? I say, what do you do, Peter?
I raise turkeys.
You raise turkeys?
That's right.
How old are you, Pete?
40.
How long you had a turkey farm?
About 15 years.
Where is that farm?
That's in Bethpage, Long Island.
Bethpage, Long Island. Do you believe that farm people are more honest and courageous than city people?
Well, I don't know. I believe that's a hard statement to make.
Well, would you rather live on a farm?
Yes, definitely.
You would. Why?
Well, I like the outdoor life.
You like the outdoor life. You always lived on a farm?
Most of the time.
I had a farm quite a while ago. Had 40 hens and 40 roosters. Of course, I didn't. Well, look what happened to me. You know what happened to you?
I don't.
You don't?
I hear
you weren't listening very carefully. Now, Peter, you don't have to worry about a turkey in this particular case, because you've got one that certainly isn't a turkey. It's a beautiful Waltham wristwatch, the first American watch, the watch that keeps time beautifully, and you want it just for standing up here and watching.
Thank you.
You like it?
Very strong.
That's good. Come on, don't go away. Don't go away. Do you have any children, Pete?
Yes.
How many?
Two.
How do you talk with your kids? Do you talk down to them, or do you carry on intellectual conversations with them?
Oh, I talk to them like a friend.
Like a friend?
That's right.
Are they better educated than you are?
Well, one is going to high school.
One's going to high school. Did you go to high school?
No.
No, you didn't. Well, all right. There's an example. Mine, my 10-year-old daughter, Deirdre, proved just how much I taught her. She's much better educated than I am. First time she saw the horses on a merry-go-round, she said, Daddy, where's the $2 Windus? Pete, we're going to ask you to play Guess Who with us now. You have the watch in your hand. Don't be nervous. Turkeys will wait. We're going to ask you to listen to the voice of a famous man. I'm sure you remember him. 10 silver Sheffield dollars are waiting for you if you guess who this ex-college professor is. Play it, Pete.
We stand in the presence of an awakened nation. Plainly, it is a new age. There are two great things to do. One is to set up the rule of justice and right in such matters as the tariff, the regulation of trusts, and the prevention of monopoly.
You look a little puzzled now, Pete. Now, listen to the hints. Here they are. If we had followed through on one of his big ideas, we'd have saved ourselves a lot of trouble today.
President Hoover.
Who did you say?
Hoover.
No, it's not Hoover. What? I don't know what idea we're thinking about. This fellow was an ex-president of Princeton University, and Hoover came from the West Coast. Hoover was interested more in Stanford. This fellow's initials are WW, and I don't mean Walter Winchell.
Woodrow Wilson.
Who did you say?
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson, he's exactly right. Pay him the money. The man that originally had the idea for the League of Nations, and we're having the United Nations now. If we'd listened to him, well, might have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. Who knows? Thank you, Peter Zorn. Happy turkey to you. I'll look you up at Christmas time. All right. The Army steps in here. He's a PFC, a private. Your name, please?
Richard Stein.
Dick, where are you from?
Glens Falls, New York.
Glens Falls. How long have you been in the Army?
Going into my first year.
And where are you stationed?
Fort Dick.
What kind of quarters do you have? I mean, tents, barracks, Quonset huts, what kind?
Well, we have a name for them, but they're wooden barracks.
You have a name for them?
Yeah.
That you don't want to tell me now, is that
it? I don't think it would be a problem.
You don't? All right, we won't worry about it. All right. Are they comfortable? Well, you don't at least have to worry about a 15% raise, do you?
No, that's one thing.
My landlord wants to raise my rent, Dick. He's got an awful nerve. My house is so old and weak, every time the wind blows, the termites have to hold hands to keep the building up. Now, soldier, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the Army. Why don't the privates eat their meals with the officers?
Oh, what a leading question.
That isn't a leading question. I want an answer.
Well, they have to pay for it, and we don't.
They have to pay, and you don't?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd tell me that maybe all that saluting would cause such a breeze it would freeze the food or something. Are you a member of the American Legion? Not yet.
No.
Afterwards, huh? We have an American Legion convention coming into New York here. You going to be in town for it?
I want to see the parade.
I was in the parade last year. They asked me to be. They asked me to help out a general in the cavalry.
General the cavalry.
Still feel that saddle on my back. All right, Dick. This is the voice of a very charming young lady to play for you. Rather, she's going to sing for you. She's been a movie star for a long time. 10 big Sheffield silver dollars. If you can guess who, play it.
Deanna Durbin.
Who did you say?
Deanna Durbin.
How did you guess her?
When you started to ask for a soldier, you asked for a Deanna.
Yeah. I read the wrong side of the card. It was my mistake. I gave it away myself. Okay. Very good indeed. He knew it. Deanna Durbin, you're quite right. Give him the $10. It was my mistake, but we're glad the Army won it. Welcome to the program, Private Stein. I never pulled a boner like that before, to my knowledge, but Joe, isn't it about time to tell us something about that swell Sheffield chocolate drink?
Matter of fact, Happy, I was just wondering how many families have some in their refrigerators right now. You're set for a mighty refreshing weekend if you do have, because Sheffield chocolate drink is a great thirst quencher, cooling and satisfying with a rich chocolatey flavor that is delicious. And on top of all that, it's good for you. Gives you lots of health-building nourishment. So if you don't have Sheffield chocolate drink on hand, better order some from your grocer or Sheffield home service salesman and get plenty, because the whole family will go for that cooling, delicious Sheffield chocolate drink.
Thank you, Joseph. Make way for a nice-looking man here. Your name, please.
Jack Brownfeld.
Jack Brownfeld?
That's right.
And what do you do, Jack?
Scrap iron and metal.
Scrap iron and metal. Where's your home?
At present, Bronx, New York.
Bronx, New York.
Right.
All right, we'll start you off this way. Mr. Sheffield will award you with one great, big, shiny silver dollar if you can tell us approximately how many times. This is just a guesswork now, if you don't know. Mr. Sheffield, how many times Mr. Sheffield can deliver the average bottle of Sheffield milk without having the bottle broken or lost?
You mean for each...
Bottle, in other words. How many times can he refill it and send it out? Make a guess.
I'd say about 20.
That's very good. The average is 25 deliveries. Out of every 1,000 bottles delivered, at least 5% disappear. Just read the paper today. I thought it'd be a good question. Give him a dollar, will you? He was smarter than I was. He knew it. Do you do much reading, Jack?
I do.
What, fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction and fiction at times.
Do you buy or do you rent your books?
Well, no, I have them at home.
You have them at home?
That's right.
What's a good book that you've read recently?
Well, quite a few things.
Well, can you name one?
Would you like an Aunt's Love Affairs?
Love Affairs?
That's right.
Well, tell me what Love Affair. I'm writing a sequel to a famous book, For Whom the Bells Toll, called For Whom the Bronx Cheers, my autobiography. Have you read a good love story lately?
Well, I read about someone living a good, happy life.
Who was that?
Name was John Pinner.
John Pinner? What
yeah.
book's that?
Oh, it was an out-of-town book.
Out-of-town book?
That's right.
You mean it couldn't come into town?
Come to New York.
What kind of book is an out-of-town book? This I don't know about. Why is it an out-of-town book?
They say it's a military secret.
A military secret? Oh, you're making jokes with
no,
me.
No, I'm not, no.
So far, they're not any better than the ones I've been stuck with tonight either, Mr. Brownfield. All right, we're going to play a Guess Who record for you tonight. The 10 silver Sheffield dollars are right waiting for you if you can name the voice of this man who's had a career as a newspaperman, radio speaker, and an employee of the government. We're waiting for you now. You tell us. Mr. Brownfield, here we go.
The World War of 1914 to 18, with its appalling losses and suffering, was ended. That had been called a war to end war, to make the world safe for democracy, and it seemed to have been won. The great military empires had...
Look a little puzzled. Do you want a hint?
Sounds like Roosevelt. I mean,
it isn't Roosevelt, no. This man wrote for the New York Times. At one time, before the war, he was a commentator. Now he has the job again. During the war, he was the head of the OWI, the Office of War Information. He's back on the air. You can hear him.
Edgar Hoover?
No. J. Edgar Hoover, no. This is Elmer Davis. I'm sorry, Mr. Brownfield. Give him $2, and we'll add the other ace to the jackpot, and you'll have a chance of that. Just have time here now for a very charming young lady. Your name, please?
Lila Applebaum.
Lila Applebaum, and where do you live, Lila?
Bronx.
You've seen those chewing gum machines in the subway stations?
Yes.
I'll give you a Sheffield silver dollar if you can tell me approximately how much money a gum machine takes in a month. Make a guess.
One machine?
One machine.
Oh, about $100.
$100 in a month? That'd be a wonderful business. I'm sorry, Lila. $5 a month is all they take, but there's so many of them, it's still a good business. You go to school, Lila?
Yes.
What school?
Taft
School? Do you ever watch a fire engine go through the street?
Yes.
How fast do you think they travel? For another dollar.
Oh, about,
When they're going fast now.
About 60 miles?
Nope. At the best, 35 miles an hour.
Oh,
isn't that an amazing thing? That fooled me, too. I used to belong to a volunteer fire department down home in Bellevue. One night, the girls' dormitory caught fire. Girls' dormitory took fire, and it took 5 minutes for us to put the fire out and 5 hours to put the fireman out. Lila, we're going to play a record for you. Gee, I'm sorry I pulled those two tough ones on you, but they fooled me, too.
Okay.
Listen to the music of a famous maestro. This fellow's a band leader. He was trained in the classical field, and he makes most of his money playing popular music. 10 silver Sheffield dollars, if you guess who. He makes a lot of records. He has a Russian name. He's married to a famous Metropolitan Opera soprano.
And I know him.
You do, too. He has directed many famous symphony orchestras.
Lily!
Stokowski, no. No.
Andrei Kostolanin.
Andrei Kostolanin. She found the name in time. Give her the $10. Give her a nice hand. And let's get in here with Milk Payola. Don't kill it now, Joe. It has $73 in it so far, and as everybody knows, we divide it up if there's more than one winner. If no one knows all the answers, we carry it over until next week. Here we go. We play three songs, and the title of each one is Something You Can Do With Your Mouth. You must get all three to win. Something You Can Do With Your Mouth in the title. Play the first one, Gene. Write it down. Don't let anybody else look at your card now. You've got to get all three to win. Something else you can do with your mouth. In the title of this song. That's number two, here's the one you have to get. Got to get all three to win. Something else you can do with your mouth. Play it, Gene.
While half second on the pay all the winners, here's a reminder for you folks who are vacationing at a nearby resort. Be sure to take advantage of Sheffield's vacation transfer service. Just tell your home service salesman when you plan to move back to the city. He'll see that your order is transferred at your regular supply of that good Sheffield milk when you return home.
Joe, we have two winners tonight. Miss Betty Roach from the Airlines and Richard G. Stein of the United States Army. Here are the titles. Smoke Rings, you can smoke. Whispers in the Dark, you can whisper. And I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, which makes it right. All right, there we have it. So split it up between the two of them, and this is your Sheffield milkman, Happy Felton, saying, good night, everybody.
This is Joe Ripley reminding you that Guess Who is presented Saturday to 7 by Sheffield Farm and the Division of Dairy Products Corporation. Milk protection food, don't waste a single drop. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Okay. Well, that leaves one item left, and we're not going to do a lot of talking at this point because we've done all that. So you know what's coming up. You know it's going to be Peg and Bob. You know it's going to be the Baxters. You know it's going to be the little things in life. And you know it's coming right now.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great, long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Have you any idea how exasperating it is for a man to call home and keep getting nothing but a busy signal? Busy, busy, busy all day long? Now, don't tell me you haven't been on the phone.
I have been on the phone all day long.
Well, who in the Sam Hill have you been talking to? I've tried to call you. I've had my secretary try to call you every 5 minutes and nothing but busy, busy. Finally, I decided something must be wrong, so I left the office early. Well, is anything wrong? Hey, have you been crying?
I guess so. I guess I've been crying and screaming and yelling. I really don't know. I'm in a very bad humor, so the best thing for you to do is just leave me alone.
Well, why, honey? What's the matter?
Well, I don't know. Well, yes, I do know. I just cannot cope with this computer age.
Well, you're not doing any commuting.
Computer age.
Oh, computer.
Come on.
Tell me about it.
It's just been too much.
Hey, boy, you are upset. This is the first time I've ever seen you in the middle of the afternoon with your hair and curlers still in your house coat and the breakfast dishes not done.
I started early. I thought, well, I'll just, write a few checks and pay some bills and then dry my hair and get dressed and do some shopping. I've done nothing. I've done absolutely nothing all day long but try to cope
Now, things are never as bad as they seem.
Oh, that's what you think. When you're dealing with mistakes made by computers, things are far worse than they seem.
Yeah, I guess that's true. For what now?
Several things, and I finally decided I would just get to the bottom of this pile of stuff. For weeks and months, I've written letters to these people. I've gotten exactly nowhere.
What people?
You really want to know?
Yeah, certainly.
All right, I'll tell you. I hate credit cards, so I just want to...
Well, control yourself. Now, calm down.
on one of your gas credit cards for 8 months now. They have given us a credit of $15.68, which we don't deserve.
Well, don't knock it. That's better than being charged.
But it should work both ways. I don't want money we're not entitled to, and I've written them each month, and I said a mistake was made. They just ignore it. Your other gasoline credit card has overcharged us for 6 months. Yes, here it is. Overcharged for 6 months and keeps adding finance charges, which I do not intend to pay.
Let me see it.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, where are they?
Right here, see. I tell you, I've written letters until I'm blue in the face today. I just had it. I really had just had it.
Yeah, I can see that, dear.
Or not. I thought, well, I don't care what it costs. I'm going to call these people long distance, talk to somebody, and get all these things straightened out.
Well, how'd you make out?
Don't
get all choked up. Not trying to tell me.
Well, they're all going to get back to me, was the way they put it.
Well, that's something.
Not one of them wanted to know our name or address. Just our code number. I find myself at one point saying, well, this is Mrs. 304-792 or something like that.
I know. We're all numbers these days. It's the computers, honey.
I know. And look at our latest phone bill. Came today. Look under previous balance, right there.
Oh, $13.98. Well, what's that for?
How can you even ask after 8 months of it?
They're still charging us for a collect call from Cuba?
Yes. I've been on the phone to their business office exactly 6 times with them today. I kept being put through to different people, explaining all over again. Finally, I got a Miss Kimball, who is very nice. She is checking and rechecking with their overseas department and will call me back.
Well, at long last, you got somebody who's taking care of it.
You want to bet?
Look. Hey, you're all worn out. You're tired. You want me to get it?
No. It's one of 4 or 5 people calling back. I better talk to them. Oh, it may be the dry cleaners who have no idea what has happened to your brown suit. Hello.
What do you mean, what's happened to my brown suit?
Yes, it is 8702.
What has happened to my brown suit? I just bought that.
It's the phone company. Hello? What do you mean, what seems to be the problem? Now, I explained it all for the umpteenth time in 8 months to a Miss Kimball, who's... Hello. Am I talking to a computer, or is this a human being? A human being, fine. A Mr. Dooley.
I just bought that brown suit.
Well, now, Mr. Dooley, this is July, right? Mm. Last November, you billed us $13.98 for a collect call from Cuba. Now, every month, I have called to complain. But we don't even know anybody in Cuba. Who doesn't know anybody in Cuba these days, much less anybody who would call us collect? Yes, collect. $13.98. Did we what?
Listen, when you get off that phone, I'm calling the dry cleaners.
Look.
Boy, my new brown suit.
Now, look, Mr. Dooley.
They never did find my plaid jacket.
Now, I don't care about checking and rechecking again with your overseas office. Somebody there must be an idiot. Because the only person we've ever even heard of in Cuba is Castro, and I don't think he'd call us. Let alone call us collect. And I am just...
Let me have the phone. Have the phone, sweetheart.
Take it. I hate the phone company. I'm going to buy some carrier pigeons.
Hello? Let me talk to the manager, please. Yeah, well, I'll thank you to interrupt this conference. Yes, I'll hold on.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, thanks very much, sir. We just knew nobody had called us collect from Cuba, and... Yeah, I know. Mistakes do happen, yeah. Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Why do you want to bet it's on our bill next month?
No, the manager is very nice. He's going to take care of it. Always go straight to the top, honey.
Well, I'm sorry to get so upset. I've just really had such an awful day with all these bills and things. I haven't even thought of dinner.
Oh, forget dinner. Here, wait a minute. Let me take you out. You need to relax. Oh. I get a dozen things like this at the office every day, but I have to learn to force myself to stay calm.
Yes, I suppose. Well, you want to get the door? I'll go upstairs and take out my curlers and get dressed up. It'll be nice to eat out.
Baxter's.
That's right.
You want to sign right here?
Sure. Well, what's it for?
Well, I don't know. Let me see the slip here. Rotisserie.
Rotisserie?
Yeah, you know, you cook meat on them, the meat goes around and around, you know.
Yeah, I know what a rotisserie is, but we've got one. Hey, honey, did you order a rotisserie?
No, we have one, dear.
That's right. No, you have to have the wrong address.
Well, it says Baxter here, Bittersweet Lane. Oh, yeah, it's marked gift. I guess somebody's giving you one.
Why?
Well, what it says, gift from the Bradleys, Mr. and Mrs. Gerald Bradley. As a matter of fact...
No. I ordered a rotisserie to be sent to the Bradleys for their 25th wedding anniversary. Didn't you people send it out to them? That was 2 weeks ago.
Well, I don't know nothing about it. I mean, I just delivered.
Now, look here.
What's the matter, dear?
It's the rotisserie I ordered sent to the boss. Now they send it out here.
Yeah, two of them.
What do you mean, two of them?
I got two rotisseries here to deliver.
Why would they send it out here, dear? I don't understand.
I don't know. And their anniversary was 2 weeks ago. No, three weeks ago. I wondered why the boss hadn't said anything. What do you mean you have two rotisseries?
That's what I got. These two big boxes. Two of them. And it says right here... Two rotisserie rotisseries.
Well, dear, now, why would you order two rotisseries?
But I didn't. When the boss hadn't mentioned getting it, I called the department store and asked them about it, and they said it had been sent out, and I said, make sure.
Well, I don't think they got it, because Mrs. Bradley's a stickler for thanking
us. So now we get two rotisseries delivered, and the Bradleys got nothing for their anniversary 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I'm real sorry. You know, it's not my fault. If you want to call the store...
Yeah, I certainly will call the store.
Dear, it's not the delivery man's fault.
All right. Just take them back, and I'll call tomorrow.
I can't take them back.
What do you mean you can't take them back?
That's a pickup. I just deliver. I mean, to pick up, you gotta call a store. You just ask for pickup.
Yes, but you're here. For Pete's sake, all you have to do is put them back.
I gotta have a pink pickup slip.
Well, I don't want these two big boxes in my front hall. They're huge. When will they be picked up?
Well, let me see. This is, it'll be next week now. Yeah, pickups once a week on Monday. So should I just set them in here?
Now, look here. For 15 years or more, we have been steady customers of your department store, and I do not intend
to... if you just call tomorrow and ask for pickup...
I'm going to call tomorrow and ask for more than pickup.
Right now, before they close, you'd better call the dry cleaners about losing your brown suit. The dry cleaner, your brown suit.
Well, what's that number?
623-3434.
Listen, I'm real sorry about this, Mrs. Baxter. You know, I go through this a dozen times a day.
Well,
I delivered a four-poster bedstead the other day. I had to leave it in the front hall. The poor woman got hysterical. Said all she'd ordered had been a bedspread. I nearly cried myself.
Well, the manager.
Dear.
Well, I don't care if he is sick. I'm sick about your losing my brown suit.
I'm getting dinner, dear. I think we better stay home in the mood you're in.
Now, don't give me that jazz about computers and inexperienced help. When I send a suit to you, a new suit, I expect you to...
Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch and directed by Warren Somerville and has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. I'm Charles Woods. This is the Serial Network.
And that's it for tonight, basically. I think the last program was probably the pick of the litter, but the other ones, I hope you found some enjoyment in them, if not that, at least some interest. And you probably won't be too concerned that we likely will never hear from them again. But we are going to hear from Luis in a minute. I have to give him a bit of warning here. Come on, Luis. You know, he's been married for a while now, so he should be able to leave Grace on the couch and come over here unassisted. You know, okay, he's getting up, so he'll be here in a second or two. Time enough for us to get the theme ready to go, and for me to thank you for being here. I'm glad you were, because I hate doing this alone. People look at me funny when I do that. Then again, people look at me funny anyway. But I hope we'll find you next time around. In the meantime, as we always say, good listening, good luck, good night, and goodbye. Here, Louise. Come on, boy.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go. Someday you'll hear it too.
Okay, Rotten Rick, thanks a lot and great work as usual. I will take it from here to do what I do best, and that is shut things down and wrap things up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, we are done. That's it. We've got nothing else for you tonight. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.